This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, April 1st, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Study: VAs outweigh unimpaired flows. Senate legislation reintroduced to tackle H-2A reform, and EPA issues greenhouse gas rule for trucks. Unimpaired flows threaten water supply, warn engineers. A set of voluntary agreements for Bay Delta flows would deliver more benefits with fewer environmental impacts, according to a new industry-backed study. The consulting firm MBK Engineers has concluded a technical review of a report that state water board staff have drafted to outline the many options on the table for updating the agency's Bay Delta plan. The firm found that a strict regulatory approach, setting aside 55% of the river flows, would not bring any new benefits to tributary salmon, while the VAs would double or even triple the amount of spawning habitat. The unimpaired flows path would also have adverse impacts for terrestrial habitat, river temperatures, reservoir storage, and water supplies. The report points to modeling from the Department of Water Resources to show that the delta outflow under the VAs would surpass the conservative estimate in the board's report. The engineers conclude that the potential impacts of unimpaired flows to state and federal water projects, quote, threatens the fundamental tenets of water supply management in California. Heavy-duty vehicle emission rule criticized by trucking industry. New EPA greenhouse gas standards requiring steep emissions reductions for heavy-duty trucks and buses don't have the same buy-in from the industry enjoyed by the agency's rule on cars and medium-duty vehicles released about a week ago. As with the previous rule, EPA said the standards are neutral as to technology and performance-based, allowing each manufacturer to choose the suite of emission control technologies that will meet the standards and needs of their customers, EPA said in a fact sheet. Compliance can be achieved, quote, with a diverse range of heavy-duty vehicle technologies, including advanced internal combustion vehicles, hybrid vehicles, plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, battery electric vehicles, and hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. The American Trucking Associations, however, said the rule announced on Friday includes, quote, unachievable targets and will carry real consequences for the U.S. supply chain and movement of freight throughout the economy. The ATA acknowledged that EPA's final rule slows down the phase-in period for model years 2027 to 2029, but that after 2029, quote, forced zero-emission vehicle penetration rates in later years will drive only battery electric and hydrogen investment, limiting fleets' choices with early-stage technology that is still unproven. Transportation is the largest single source of greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S., with 29%. Heavy-duty vehicles emit a quarter of the pollutants in the sector. On the other side, the Union of Concerned Scientists says the rule is not an EV mandate and that overall, quote, the rule structure still diminishes its ability to guarantee the deployment of zero-emission trucks. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Senate Dems look to reform H-2A program. 9 Senate Democrats are making another run at reforming the H-2A program after struggling to get a similar measure passed in 2022. The lawmakers, led by Senators Michael Bennett of Colorado and Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, have reintroduced the Affordable and Secure Food Act, which would allow H-2A visas for year-round jobs, as well as adjusting the program's application process and providing more protections for workers. It would also create a program for workers to earn a path to a green card after working in agriculture for 10 years and create a mandatory nationwide electronic verification system for agricultural employment. Senators Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, Dick Durbin of Illinois, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, Peter Welch of Vermont, and John Hickenlooper of Colorado also signed on to the measure. Consumer Federation Conference focuses on FDA reorganization. The Consumer Federation of America's annual food policy conference kicks off tomorrow in Washington with a discussion on the Food and Drug Administration's plan to improve its oversight of the U.S. food supply. Proponents of the plan say it will make FDA's operation, quote, more accountable and responsive in the event of a crisis, CFA says, but stakeholders wonder whether it goes far enough. Jim Jones, Deputy Commissioner for Human Foods, will deliver the keynote address tomorrow morning, followed by a panel featuring Barbara Kalvacek, Director of Food Health Policy Institute at George Washington University, Peter Lurie, President and Executive Director of the Center for Science and the Public Interest, and Roberta Wagner, Senior Vice President, Regulatory and Scientific Affairs at the International Dairy Foods Association. Chavez family ask RFK Jr. to stop using Cesar Chavez image and name. The family of late farm worker organizer Cesar Chavez has asked presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to stop invoking the late civil rights leader's name and using his likeness in his campaign. Fernando and Paul Chavez, sons of Cesar Chavez, endorsed President Joe Biden on Friday. In a letter to Kennedy, Fernando asked him to stop using images such as the candidate's father visiting Chavez when he ended a 25-day hunger strike in 1968 and RFK Jr. helping carry Chavez's casket in 1993. We take offense at the use of such sacred moments purely for political purposes, the letter said, according to the Washington Post. In widely reported comments over the weekend, granddaughter Julie Chavez Rodriguez, who is Biden's campaign manager, said the fact that her grandfather's bust sits in the Oval Office is a reminder that President Biden understands the power of organizing and working people and recognizes the impact of my grandfather's legacy to continue to mobilize our communities into action. Here's today's He Said It. The majority party's misguided approach has been driving up the rates for years. That state Senator Brian Dolley of Beaver applauding the California Public Utilities Commission for rejecting an income-based approach to electric rates in favor of a flat fee increase. Assemblymember Jackie Irwin of Camarillo, meanwhile, blasted the $24 fee proposal for being more than double the national average. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, April 1st, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.